Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount Zion, the 12th Hour. In the Elgin, Texas, today is January 15, 2023. It is Shavuot 24, 2026. We're going to start our first service today with a song. Where can I go? Let me be known in this sinful world. Hardly a comfort can afford. Shining alone to face temptation so. Where can I go but to this job? Where can I go? Where can I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul. Needing a friend to save me in the end. Where can I go to live beyond? Maybe sometime I'll often let me fall. We get along and see a cold. But then my soul is not out from my heart. Where can I go to the beyond? Where can I go? Oh, where can I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul. May I not find safety in the end? Where can I go to the beyond? The 11th Hour, track number 8 of Vichy Holofer on page 41. We're going back, go back and pick up where we ended on where we had a pause on number 4. And that was on page 42. So we're going to call this number 5, part 5. Mount Zion at the 11th Hour. If you have to give this emblem a track in 1937. So, about 85 years, 86 years ago, and we are going to see what we got here. So, on the back up to, we're going back up to church's condition just before the purification. That's on page 33, track 8. What greater deception can come upon the human mind than a confidence that they are right when they are all wrong? For the message of the true witness finds the people of Yahweh in a sad deception. Now this true witness, you'll find that this is Yahshua. John the Revelator in Revelation 1:5 is referring to him as the true witness. Romans chapter 3:24 and 25. Anyway, Yahshua is referred to as the true witness. And the prophets and the churches are referred to as the true witnesses. And the Jewish churches, they're referred to as the true witness. Whoever's preordained to have inspiration to fill a prophetic post as a prophet, they are preordained for that, and they are given inspiration and a title, and one of their titles is that they're the true witness. Your false prophets that comes up to deny their message are called false prophets or false witnesses. The message of the true witness finds the people of Yahweh in a sad deception. Yet they're honest in that deception. For they know not that their condition is deplorable in the sight of Yahweh. While those addressed are flattering themselves that they are in an exalted spiritual condition, for the message of the true witness, Yahshua himself, Revelation 3:14, is the scripture that bears out Yahshua being the true witness. The message of the true witness breaks the security by the starting denunciation of their true condition of the spiritual blindness, poverty, and wretchedness. Now that's what took place down at Kermit, July 14th, 2002, when I was asked by the prophet's wife, "What is your opinion about why we are losing all of our blessings? We've asked everybody else in church. You're the last one left that we haven't asked. We want to know what you think is the reason." I said, "I don't have an opinion." So they asked me a second time for an opinion. I said, "Well, I don't have an opinion a second time, but I have a message from heaven. From the true witness, Yahshua himself, and I give him that message." And they rose up against it and rejected it. They didn't reject what I told them, but they rejected the fact that I said that I'd got this message from heaven. I was lying. I said I got it from heaven, because I didn't have no inspiration and I didn't have no connection with heaven in that way. So therefore, how could I get a message from heaven? So they passed judgment on themselves by denying a true message from heaven. That would have straightened out their course had they accepted it. It would have saved them, the whole congregation. Instead, they caused the whole congregation to rise up against it, and that's why we are separated today. So it says the message of the true witness breaks their security by the starting denunciation of their true condition of the spiritual blindness, poverty, and wretchedness. For the testimony is so cutting and severe that it cannot be a mistake. For it is the true witness, Yahshua, who speaks, and his testimony must be correct. Testimony, Volume 3, page 252 and 3 by Ellen G. White. Who can truthfully say our gold is tried in the fire, our garments are unspotted by the world? I saw our instructor pointing unto the garments of the so-called righteousness, stripping them off. He laid bare the defilement beneath, and he said unto me, "Can you not see how they have pretentiously covered up the defilement and rottenness of their character? How is the faithful city become an harlot? My father's house is made a house of the merchandise, as a place whence the divine presence and the glory have departed." For this cause there is weakness and strength is lacking. Testimonies, Volume 8, page 350. For the ancient man, those unto whom the Yahweh, by his inspiration, had given great light, Job 32:8, and 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, and who had stood as the guardians of the spiritual interests of the people, had betrayed their trust. For these dumb dogs that would not bark are the ones who feel the just vengeance of an offended Yahweh. For the men, maidens, and little children all perish together. Testimony, Volume 5, page 211. It is difficult for those who feel secure in their attainments and who believe themselves to be rich in the spiritual knowledge for the receiving of the message which declares that they are deceived and in the need of every spiritual grace, for the unsanctified heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. So let's continue. It says, last paragraph, page 34. There are many who do not have the discretion of the Joshua, and who have no special duty for the searching out of the wrong and for the dealing promptly with the sins existing among them. Let not such hinder those who have the burden of this work upon them. Let them not stand in the way of those who have this duty to do. Some make it a point to question and to doubt and to find fault, because others do the work that Yahweh has not laid upon themselves. For these stand directly in their way for the hindering of those upon whom Yahweh has laid the burden of the reproving and correcting sins, that his frown may be turned away from his people. Should a case like the Achan be among us, there are many who would accuse those who might act the part of the Joshua in the searching out the wrong of having a wicked fault-finding spirit. Yahweh is not to be trifled with, and his warning is disregarded with the impunity by a perverse people. Yahweh's displeasure is upon his people. We have the Seventh-day Adventists. And he will not manifest his power in the midst of them while the sins exist among them and are fostered by those in the responsible position. But that's exactly what the case down at Kermit, the third feeding pasture for the Seventh-day Advent. All we were down there was nothing but advanced Seventh-day Adventists with the latest present truth that was sent to the Adventist Church. And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with the candles and punish the men that are settled on their lead, that say in their heart to Yeshua, or Yahweh will not do good, neither will he do evil. For the great day of the Yahweh is near. That's this talking about Yeshua. Okay, for the Yeshua will not do good, neither will he do evil. For the great day of the Yahshua is near. It is near and hastens greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Yahshua, as a mighty man shall cry there. And the mighty man shall cry there. Now when it says even the voice of the day of the Yahshua, that voice is from antitypical Elijah. That was the voice in Yahshua's day when he came with John the Baptist baptizing and preaching on the shores of Galilee. That was a voice 2,000 years ago pointing out the day of the Yeshua and when he arrived. And there it is right there in front of you. When a crisis finally comes, as it surely will, and Yahweh speaks in the behalf of his people, those who have sinned, those who have been a cloud of darkness, and those who have stood directly in the way of the Yahweh's working for his people, may become alarmed at the length that they have gone in the murmuring and in the bringing of discouragement upon the cause, and like the Achans becoming terrified, they may acknowledge that they have sinned, but their confessions are too late and not of the right kind to benefit themselves, although they may relieve the cause of the Yahweh. Those who have been nearly all their life controlled by a spirit as foreign unto the spirit of Yahweh, as was the Achans, will be very passive when the time comes for the decided action on the part of all. They will not claim to be on either side. Testimony, Volume 3, page 27. We have been inclined to think that where there are no faithful ministers, there can be no true believers. But this is not the case. For Yahweh has promised that where the shepherds are not true, this is talking about Yahshua. For the Yahshua has promised that where the shepherds are not true, he will take charge of the flock himself. For Yahshua has never made the flock wholly dependent upon the human instrumentality.
That's right.
Really, the days of the purification of the Seventh-day Adventist Church are hastening on apace. For the Yahweh will have the people pure and true, and a mighty system soon to take place. We shall be better able for the measure of the strength of Israel. For the signs reveal that the time is near when the Yahshua will manifest that his fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor. Okay, this says those who have trusted and the intellect, genius, or talent will not then stand at the head of the rank and file, for they did not keep pace with the light. Those who have proved themselves unfaithful will not then be entrusted with the flock. In the last solemn work, few great men will be engaged, for they are self-sufficient, independent of Yahweh, and he cannot use them. For Yahshua has a faithful servant who, in the shaking, testing time, will be disclosed unto the view. There are precious ones now hidden who have not bowed the knee to Baal, for they have not had the light that has been shining in a concentrated blaze upon you. Really, it may be under a rough and uninviting exterior, that the purity of the brightness of a genuine believer's character will be revealed. Testimony by 5, page 80. For the foregoing series of the statements showed that the Seventh-day Adventist Church must be cleansed before the rest of the Yahweh's people or get it out of all our country then in those days and in that time when I shall bring again the captivity of the Judah, that's the house of tribe of David, the lawgiver, Genesis 49:10, that Yahshua is Shiloh, the king that comes and sits upon the throne of David and the temple of Judah and Jerusalem, I might add, in these last days, in the 12th prayer of the Lord, this all won't take place, says the Yahshua. I will arise gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of the Jehoshaphat and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land, Joel 3:1-2. But to be delivered from the captivity and to hear the Yahshua plead, therefore his people, one dare not spurn now his pleadings. For they say, if a man put away his wife, and she go from him, and become another man, shall he return unto her again? Shall not that land be greatly polluted? But thou hast played the harlot with many lovers. Yet return again unto me, saith the Yahshua. Lift up thine eyes unto the high places, and see where thou hast not been a land with. In the highways hast thou set for them, as an Arabian in the wilderness, and thou hast polluted the land with thy whoredom and with thy wickedness. Therefore the showers have been withholding, and the main, and there hath been no latter rain, and thou hast a hoarse forehead, thou refusest to be ashamed. Wilt thou not from this time cry unto me, my father? Thou art the God of my youth. Go and proclaim these words toward the north, and say, and return thou backsliding Israel, saith the Yahshua, and I will not cause my anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Yahshua. That's the Son talking. And the way he's merciful is that he offers his blood for those that ask for it to cleanse them from their sin. And I will not keep anger forever, and only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Yahshua, thy Redeemer, by his blood, Revelation 5:9-11, and hast scattered thy ways unto the strangers under every green tree, and ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Yahshua. Turn, O backsliding Israel, saith Yahshua, for I am lured unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion, and I will give you pastures according unto mine heart. which shall feed you with the knowledge and understanding. And it shall come to pass when you be multiplied and increased in the land in those days, and that's these last days, said to Yahshua, they shall say, no more the ark of the covenant of Yahshua. Neither shall it come to mind. Neither shall they remember it. Neither shall they visit it. Neither shall thou be done anymore. All that time they shall call Jerusalem as the throne of the Yahshua, the Son, and all the nations shall be gathered under it unto the name of the Yahshua. I just said it. His name is Yahshua. Okay, and all the nations shall be gathered unto it unto the Judah. All the nations shall be gathered unto it, unto the name of Yahshua, unto Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. In those days the house of the Judah shall walk with the house of the Israel, the 10 tribes. House of Judah, 2 tribes, which is the house of everlasting kingdom of David, with Yahshua sitting upon the throne of David ruler. That's in Luke 1:32-33. And they shall come together out of the land of the north unto the land that I have given for an inheritance unto your fathers. Jeremiah 3:1-4, 12-18. Howbeit, said the Yahshua, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers unto the children, and the heart of the children unto their fathers, that shall come and smite the earth with a curse. Malachi 4:5. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and Yahshua, whom you seek, shall suddenly come unto his temple, that he may abide. That says that. But the day of his coming, of his coming, and who shall stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like the fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of the silver, and he shall purify the sons of the Levi, and purge them as the gold and silver, for that they may gather unto the Yahshua an offering in righteousness, that they may offer unto the Yahshua an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah, the house of David, two-tribe kingdom of Judah and Benjamin, and Jerusalem, the headquarters for their rulers that rules upon the thrones, the 12 thrones of Judah, be pleasant unto the Yahshua, as in the days of old, or be pleasant unto the Yahweh the Father, as in the days of old, and as in the former years. And I will come near unto you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, and against the idolaters, and against false swearers, and against those that oppress the harlot in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right. Second, and fear not me, saith Yahshua the host. For I am the Yahshua, I change not, therefore you sons of Jacob, 12, are not consumed. even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith Yahshua the host. That's the Son speaking. But you said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob the Yahweh? That you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? And the tithes and offerings, you are cursed with a curse. For you have robbed me, even this whole nation, bringing all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith Yahshua the host, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough for receiving it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and you shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time and the field, saith the Yahshua of the host. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Yahshua of the host. He says, your words have been stout against me, saith Yahshua. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against thee? You have said it is vain to serve Yahweh. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before the Yahshua of the host? That's the Son of Yahweh. And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt Yahweh are even delivered. Then they that feared the Yahshua spake often one unto another. And the Yahshua hearkened and heard it, and a book of the remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Yahshua, and that thought upon his name, Yahshua or Yahweh, the Father. And it shall be mine, saith the Yahshua of the host, in that day, when I make up my jewels. Well, that's the 144,000. That's the first jewels Yahshua comes back and makes up and harvests out of the Adventist church, the first fruits. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then Yahshua will send Ezekiel 9 among them after he spared those jewels, 144,000, out of the Adventist church. Then he sends, he opens up Ezekiel 9, he sends those five men with slaughtering weapons, and they go through the city and slaughter all those that have not the mark, that have not been marked with a special mark. All right. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth the Yahweh and him that serveth him not. Matthew 3:1-18. Therefore thus saith the Yahweh, behold, I lay in the Zion for a foundation as a stone. Now this is the Father talking about. He laid in Zion this stone. And what is that stone? That's the everlasting kingdom of David, with Yahshua sitting, his son sitting upon the throne of it. Luke 1:32, and the prophecy of Isaiah 9:6-8. It's a tried stone. Well, wasn't Yahshua tried and proven at the cross and come through and prevail? Yahweh the Father tried him. He let him be tried. A precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. So when Yahshua comes back to claim this kingdom, he's a sure stone. He's a sure stone. That's the cornerstone of it. Now he that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay unto the lion, and righteousness unto the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuse of the life, and the water shall overflow the hiding place. Your covenant with the death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with the hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it. From the time that it goeth forth, it shall take you. Okay, for morning by morning shall it pass over, by day and by night, and it shall be a vexation only for the understanding of the report. For the bed is shorter than what a man can stretch himself up on it, and the covering narrower than that he can wrap himself in it. For the lion shall rise up, the sun shall rise up as in the Mount Perazim. He shall be wroth as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his acts, his strange act. Now therefore be ye not mockers, lest your bands be made strong, for I have heard from the Yahshua of the host of a consumption, even determined upon the whole earth. The whole earth means the whole United States, and maybe the whole world altogether. Give ye ear and hear my voice, hearken and hear my speech. Isaiah 28:16-23. As Yahweh has promised that where the shepherds are not true, he will take charge of the flocks himself. Testimony Volume 5, page 8. Let's go read that again. For the Yahshua, the Son, has promised that where the shepherds are not true, he will take charge of the flock himself. And that's exactly what he started doing down at Kermit. He took charge of that flock down there. Gilead Center, his brother Stevie Johnson, as the angel of the candlestick, he dealt with him first, and then with all the members of the church, including myself. And my wife, Testimony Volume 5, page 80. Testimony to Ministers, page 300. Jeremiah 3:17. And as the descendants of the Jacob again becoming as a kingdom, appoint unto themselves one head, Hosea 1:11. With the David as their king, Hosea 3:5, and seek Yahweh their father up in heaven. It is evident that the Seventh Day Adventist Church, in the time of the loud cry of the fifth angel, having joined itself to the third angel for repeat of the third angel's message with a loud cry. First one, time is given, the three angels' message with a loud voice. But this last one is given with a loud cry. The loud voice only went locally to the Advent. But the loud cry, it joins up with the fifth angel, fourth and fifth, and it goes into all the world. It will be a theocracy when that takes place. For the scepter shall not depart from the Judah. This scepter means a token. That says for Yahweh, the government is being taught and run from. That's where the sanctuary system is in full operation. Wherever you find this scepter, for the scepter shall not depart from the Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Genesis 49:10. So what is Genesis 49:10? We'll quote it. For scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until the shadow come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. I just read it a second time. Behold, a king shall reign in the righteousness, and princes shall rule in the judgment. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as the rivers of the water, and a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land, Isaiah 32:1-2. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonder, Full Counselor, the Mighty Yahweh, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of the Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of the David and upon his kingdom, to order it and for the establishment of it with the judgment and with the justice from henceforth even forever. Now this is the kingdom and throne that Yahshua gave to Elijah David and myself starting at the Passover, Kermit, Texas, 2002. For the zeal of the Yahshua the host will perform this. Yahshua sent a sword into Jacob, and it hath lighted upon Israel. Isaiah 9:6-8. Behold, the Yahweh will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him. He will then give them the kingdom and his work before him. He will then gather his people, Israel, Isaiah 40:10. Okay, let's do that again. Behold, the Yahshua, the Son, will come with a strong hand, and his arm, the house of David, the kingdom of everlasting kingdom of David, which is the prophecy of Daniel 2:34-35, 44-45. That's the everlasting kingdom that has set in these last days here on earth. That's that little stone that's hewn out of the mouth without hands that strikes the image on the feet and goes to a mountain filled with the whole earth. That little stone represented the infancy of this infant kingdom of heaven that David is in charge of, with Yahshua coming and putting it into activation. Started at the Passover 2002 at Kermit, Texas. That's when Yahshua came in person and activated the everlasting kingdom of David. That was closing out with the sixth seal for the Laodicea Gilead Center, closing out them. And opening up the seventh seal with Elijah David and starting up the judgment of the living and putting it into motion. Okay, so as behold, the Yahshua, the Son, will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him. He will then give them the kingdom and his work before him. He will then gather his people, Isaiah 40:10. I mean, when he says he gathered his people, that would mean of the 144,000 out of the Adventist church. That's the first fruits of his people that Yahshua has purified by his blood of the everlasting covenant, mentioned there in Hebrews 10:19-20, and Romans 3:24-25. And there shall come, as we continue to read, forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. And this rod has a name called David. It's called David the Rod. And the stem of Jesse is called the father of David. Isaiah, in the figurative description, depiction of the glorious triumph of the Yahweh's purpose, and a branch, Yahshua, the Son, has already come back, shall grow out of the rod's roots, the house of David. And that's the confirmation is found in the prophecy of Jeremiah 23:5-7 and Jeremiah 33:14-15. And the spirit of the Yahshua shall rest upon him. That is the spirit of the wisdom. Okay, so the spirit of the Yahweh, actually, I guess it's talking about the Father, will rest upon his Son, shall rest upon him, the spirit of the wisdom and understanding. Well, the Son already has all this. So let's go back and reread that. And the spirit of the Yahshua shall rest upon him, this antitypical David, ruling with him on David's throne. The spirit of the wisdom and understanding, the spirit of the counsel and might, the spirit of the knowledge, and of the fear of the Yahshua, and shall make him of the quick understanding and the fear of the Yahshua, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eye, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with the righteousness shall he judge. Reprove with the equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth. Okay, so David the rod, but then David has a rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins as well. And faithfulness is the girdle of his reins, Isaiah 11:1-5. In this illustration, there are three persons brought into the view. Jesse, as the father of David. The rod, David. And the branch, Yahshua. For the relationship shows that David as the rod is not Yahshua as the branch. For the rod sprang from the stem of Jesse, and the branch from the rod as a fact which is borne out in the cry of the multitude when Yahshua entered Jerusalem. But he shouted, Hosanna unto the son of David. Matthew 21:15. Plainly therefore the rod coming from the stem of Jesse is symbolical of the David, and the branch coming from the rod is symbolical of the son of David, Yahshua. Upon this ensign, branch and rod, the spirit of the Yahshua shall rest. Upon this ensign, the branch and rod, the spirit of the Yahshua shall rest, as the spirit of wisdom and understanding, as the spirit of the counsel and might, as the spirit of the knowledge and of the fear of the Yahweh, and shall make him of the quick understanding in the fear of the Yahweh. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with the righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with the equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness as the girdle of his reins, Isaiah 11:2-5. So though the ensign emblematizes the connection of the three persons, Jesse the rod, David the Jesse the root, David the rod, and Yahshua, David the son of Jesse as the rod, and Yahshua the son of David in this allegory is the branch. Yet the power and wisdom of Yahshua is with this underlying and controlling force. Wherefore says Yahshua, I am the root and the offspring of the David, and the bright and morning star. Revelation 22:16. Okay, it says, bearing out that he is all and in all, since therefore from the stem of Jesse came the rod, David, and then from the rod sprang the branch Yahshua, David the visible king, and the Yahshua as the invisible king of kings, shall in that day, in our time, constitute the ensign, and under it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest, or his resting place, as the location where the rod or ensign stands, the kingdom shall be glorious. Yea, I will make the place of my feet glorious. Isaiah 60:13 saith Yahshua. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Yahshua, will be their Yahweh, and my servant David. Let's read that whole thing again. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. Now this is talking about antitypical David in our day. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Yahshua, will be their king of kings, and my servant David as a prince among them. How the Yahshua has spoken it. And I will make with them a covenant of the peace, and will cause the evil beast to cease out of the land. That's these wicked men that has taken over the house of Israel, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, these Jesuit infiltrators from the Catholic Church, with the one false doctrine of the three-in-one person of the Godhead, forces on all the Adventists and all their institutions around the world, and all the Gentile Sunday-keeping Protestant churches around the world, and the evangelical churches, and all that call themselves a religion or a church, these Jesuits have taken over. And they shall dwell safely in the wilderness, and sleep in the woods, Ezekiel 34:23-25, and that's right here in Texas, where this all begins, fulfilling this prophecy, right here. We have plenty of woods here in Texas, scattered from north to south to east and west, and Texas is 1,000 miles long from the southern tip to the northern tip. Thus, his church, our kingdom, is again reflected without the spot or wrinkle or any such thing, Ephesians 5:27. For a theocracy of the peace, safety, and invincibility under the rule, or let's put that preposition with the rule, of the one shepherd, and a king as the antitypical David for his servant. But the fact that many kings reigned over Israel may, in the minds of some, give rise unto the question, why is David as a type? Okay, it says, inevitably, because he is the only one who perfectly fits the antitype as the leader. Ship in the time of the loud cry of the third angel's message. For this being so, then it necessarily follows that the King Saul as the first king who reigned over Israel and who was largely responsible for the early experience of the David's life is a type of the church leadership in the period preceding the loud cry in the 12th parabolic hour. For the leadership which was raised up in 1844 to start the 10th parabolic hour, and for the sole purpose of the giving of the 144,000 as the first fruits of the kingdom of David here in the 12th parabolic hour, was seen to be in the wrong time zone. The 10th parabolic hour is 2 hours removed from the 12th parabolic hour. And that's when this prophecy came, the 144,000 within at the end of the 9th parabolic hour in 1844. That's when it came. For the first fruits of the kingdom. In each case, type perfectly matches antitype. Type perfectly matches antitype. For the account of his outwardly kingly appearance, Saul was chosen by the people, as the reader will remember, to be their king in spite of the Yahweh's disapproval. 1 Samuel 8:7. Then finally, when the Yahweh rejected him and anointed David to be a king in his stead, he was determined to retain the throne by the attempting to kill the David, but ended up ever before David ascended it by the deliberately killing himself. 1 Samuel 31:4. Time has already demonstrated that the Seventh-day Adventist organization is fully fulfilling the type, preferring to incorporate for the election officers by the people's vote. They have thereby manifested that they have cared not so much for the pleasing Yahweh by their being a peculiar people, as he would have these to be, as they have to please himself by being as much as possible like the other denominations, just as in the Saul's time, that people wanted to be like the nations round about. He says that round about them. Let's read that last sentence again. As he would have them to be, as they have to please himself by being as much as possible like the other denominations, just as in the Saul's time, for the people wanted to be like the nations round about them. 1 Samuel 8:5-7. And although chosen by the people, yet the general compass officers were nevertheless accepted by the Yahweh to be the rulers over his people now, as the Saul was anciently. Well, Sister White says that may have been true at the very beginning when the General Conference sought to be over the church. But says that Yahweh rejected the General Conference by 1903, just as he betrayed his trust, however, by the disobeying of the word of Yahweh as spoken unto him by the prophet Samuel. So the present Seventh-day Adventist church organization, with the ancient men before the house, have, says the prophet, unto the church today betrayed their trust. Testimony of Divine Faith, page 211. For a more ample treatment of the subject of the organization, see our organization manual. Well, we're not going to do that. Because the administration, the General Conference has got a hold of it, and they spiritually adulterated that manual. And they put that three-in-one person of the Godhead in it. And Sister White, I guess either didn't know it or she knew it and let it stand anyway. Speaking unto the SGA leadership, the servant of Yeshua, Ellen G. White, says, you have no right to manage unless you manage the Yahweh's and the Yahweh's order. Are you under the control of the Yahweh? Do you see your responsibility unto Him that these men should stand in a sacred place to be as a voice of Yahweh unto the people, as we once believed the General Conference to be? That is past. What we want now is a reorganization, General Conference Bulletin, 34th Session, Volume 4, Extra, Number 1, April the 3rd, 1901, page 25. This means the close of our still this hour, contact us at the 11th hour call, as never ever. Click on this audio to hear this message. We're closing out with a song. Victory in Yahshua.
I heard an old, old story, how Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His glory, of His precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Yahshua, my Savior forever. Taught me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew Him, and all my love is in Him. He drives me to victory beneath that crimson flood. I heard about His healing, of His cleansing power revealing. I made the lame to walk again, and caused the blind to see. And they cried, dear Yahshua, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Yahshua came and brought to me the victory. Victory in Yahshua, my Savior forever. He sought me and got me in His redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew Him, and all the Lord is in Him. He turns me to victory beneath the crimson flood. I heard about a mansion He has built for me in glory. I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. The flying angels singing and the old redemption story. Some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Yahshua, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. victory in its actions into life.